This is Sarah Bordeev, and you are listening to PodSam, the podcast channel of SAM Magazine, the voice of the mountain resort industry. The mountain resort industry has been gathering, virtually, to share what we're learning and how we're overcoming obstacles during this challenging time. To paraphrase Churchill, we never want to let a good crisis go to waste. The pandemic has been a catalyst for many resorts to reevaluate their processes and leverage technology to offer a friction-free guest experience, not only for the winter ahead, but for all the winters to follow. On this episode, we gathered resort leaders and technology suppliers to discuss what improvements they are exploring to help overcome the challenges of today. We'll start the discussion here with SAM publisher Olivia Rowan.
So thank you for joining us today for our Monday huddle. I'm Olivia Rowan, publisher of SAM Magazine, and joining me is our co-host, senior editor Dave Meeker. Today we're going to talk about how leveraging technology can not only help make needed adjustments for the very strange winter we have coming ahead of us, but also benefit areas long-term in providing a frictionless guest experience that consumers have come to expect in many other parts of the way that they are out in the world. So today's topic is also based on a brilliantly written article by our own Mr. Meeker titled Can't Touch This, which you'll find in the July issue of SAM. So let's get started. We have several panelists, ski area operators who are exploring or already executing process adjustments and technology upgrades, and leaders from technology companies who are here to share their insights from their side of the industry. First, we're going to start with NSAA President Kelly Pollack, who's here as she has been in the past few weeks, to give us an update on what she and her team are doing at NSAA to help our industry navigate the current pandemic crisis. So, Kelly, you want to update us?
Sure thing. Thank you. So we continue to work on our winter pandemic playbook. And we're also working on immigration advocacy, trying to get some of our international staff workers here earlier than after January 1st. And Geraldine is working with the force, working on ski fee waiver, fee waivers. So we're trying to get that passed. And then the other big thing that's not really out publicly yet on our website, but I'll share with you, is that our fall education series, where we go across the country with risk management education, we're going to do that virtually. And that will start mid-October and go through mid-November. There'll be three national sessions and seven regional specific sessions, and ski areas can join for one fee. You can have as many ski area staff members as you want join, all 10 if you want. So really good value, and all that information will be coming out very soon. So that's about it from NSAA.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, Kel. So the ski industry in general has been a technology laggard. There are several reasons for this, of course, including the fact that investment in technology is oftentimes less of a priority than investments in on-mountain infrastructure. The reality that this winter may require ski areas to operate at limited capacity and sell all products in advance online has forced many to reevaluate their online e-commerce platforms and on-site redemption. Equally as important is the need to reevaluate on-site processes in order to eliminate pinch points, touch points, and lines. While all these improvements to technology and processes are necessary to explore because of what this winter may bring, it's vital to think long-term as well. Whatever is done will, or at least should, result in an improved guest experience from end to end, not only for this winter, but for every winter after it. It's important to keep that in mind when making changes for this winter, especially if those changes require capital investment. So the first step in all this is to reevaluate your processes. So that's where we're going to start. We have Joe Heschen, CEO of Snow Operating, joining us to offer some suggestions for how ski areas can look at their processes. Joe, in the Can't Touch This article in the July issue of SAM, there's a quote from you that says, "I think resorts can should take a step back, take a breath, sit down with their team and think long-term, big picture roadmap. Ask, what are we trying to do? And I think they'll find that the roadmap will bring them to a friction-free process anyway." So can you expand on that? And what's an example of how reevaluating processes can create a roadmap to where and how to improve the friction-free process and avoid unnecessary costs and more complications. Joe?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me again. It's good to see you all. And thanks, Sam, for continuing to do the huddle. It's great to continue to watch them and be part of them. So thank you very much. To your question, you know, I think when we were having the conversation, you kind of brought up, hey, with the pandemic, what should resorts do in regards to technology? Because we all know that technology could be a real big way for us to help make our processes friction-free. And to kind of say this in a way that, you know, I always try to, you know, obviously speak my mind often, but try not to be a jerk. So if you didn't care about technology pre-pandemic, don't use this for your excuse to sort of buying a bunch of crap, because that, like, technology is extremely complicated. And I think the reason why we as a resort business continue to find issues is it's very expensive. And then it often comes with not the desired outcome we originally set out for. So what do I mean by that? So if you're like, oh, we should now go, we should get access gates because we won't have to touch them, or we need to, and I'm not talking about the companies, but I'm just talking about all access and gates. If you need to update your software, more e-commerce, like, I think my strong recommendation, you know, I was someone who operated resorts for a long time, was not a technology person, still don't consider myself a technology person. I'm a Lean Six Sigma process person. And what I find is a lot of times people buy things without thinking of the big picture. So I think you have to look at technology, and this might seem obvious, as important as you look at your snowmaking lift infrastructure or designing a building. So if all of a sudden you're like, I need to build a bunch of technology by next winter, you might end up shooting yourself in the foot in long term, spending a bunch of capital at a time when you don't have a lot of capital, doing things that don't actually give you the desired outcome you want. So I guess my recommendation would be is, you know, I know we're all going through the pandemic. I know everyone wants to be friction free. But before you jump into expensive capital items and just start spending money on things, and again, you know, it seems odd because, you know, people think I sell technology. I don't. Right now, I only use my technology for my own business. I would take a step back and look at the big picture of what you want to do over the next 10, 15 years, maybe 5, 10, 15 years. And that's important because I think what you need to do is map out each of the bit, all of the touch points of yours. And, you know, just real quick, there's a dirty word that gets thrown around technology a lot. It's called integration. Integration is a bullshit word. It means nothing. It means nothing. If you have two systems that don't talk to each other, that it's basically going to dumb it down to make them share data between one another. Stop calling people and say, hey, does this integrate with this? Nothing integrates with anything. It all doesn't integrate with anything. And in order to get it to work, you end up dumbing down the purpose of what you originally had to do. So my point to all this is you're like, I got to get kiosks because kiosks are going to be touch-free. Well, we should look really at Disney. Disney went to a ticketless system. And I'll tell you that Disney is very far behind a lot of other people working on technology. So everyone thinks they're the best. They're actually not. Unfortunately, if you go to IAAPA, you hear every company's all built the bands for them. They've all done it. I don't know how they've all done it, but apparently everyone's done it. And if you actually look at the technology there, they've struggled, even in the pandemic, to figure out how to make this work because the system they have doesn't quite allow them to do what they needed to do. So here's my true opinion on technology related to the pandemic. If you got your really good operations people around a table and said, I want to figure out a process that makes it as touch-free as possible, I will argue you'll have more success spending no money on technology using what you currently have than if you bought a bunch of technology. And I know that's super controversial sounding. It sounds like no one wants to hear that. But if you're actually going to make, if you want to do what you, I think you want to do, which is to make a truly touch-free system or as friction-free as possible, doing it, you know, working on this for the last few years, I can tell you it's taking me millions of dollars, and I mean hours of painful work to get to where we've gotten, which is still probably not in your mind what you think you could pay a vendor to give you. And I'm telling you that there is no silver bullet that you can spend money on that'll do what you want it to do. But what is more important than technology is the people on your team mapping out how to deliver the guest experience, I think you'll get way more benefit from that using what you currently have, or maybe you have to upgrade certain things than otherwise. So I don't, Dave, I don't know if that covers it. I don't know.
We always seek honesty in our huddles. Thank you for that, Joe. I think the to break that down essentially is that in order to eliminate these pinch points, touch points and such, everybody should be, rather than immediately jumping to technology first and foremost, the first thing they should do is sit down with key members of their team and figure out the processes on site first. Is that, that's what you're getting? And then go from there.
I'll use an analogy. So let's say that instead of a pandemic, let's say that climate change accelerated greatly. And all of a sudden we knew right now that all ski resorts this winter, it's only gonna get to 28 degrees across the whole country. It's the lowest it's gonna get. Imagine getting on a call and everyone's saying, everyone's gotta put in all new snowmaking systems overnight. If you've been involved with snowmaking systems and you think about how complicated that would be between now and then, for some reason, I don't know why, think technology, I guess because iPhones every year or something, they think that getting technology, using technology, having different technologies work with each other, they, people just assume that if you pay money and hire a vendor, then that stuff happens. And that's not the case. Like, I'll argue that your technology system at your resort and your technology roadmap and master plan is far more complicated than your snowmaking plan. So if you wouldn't put in your whole snowmaking system in the next 4 months without fully thinking it through, I would really stress that if you haven't really focused on technology, looked at a master plan, because if you go to the Dr. Acuff model, so for those of you that worked with us in the past, we use this model of Dr. Acuff, which looks at the ideal world. So you imagine if you designed a process from the best possible scenario, what would that look like, right? If you sat down with your team and said, what would be the best case scenario? You don't want to all of a sudden buy some heavy piece of technology that doesn't quite work with all your stuff now to fit one of the pieces of that bigger puzzle. Because that will, like, to be honest, if I look at the thing that's handcuffing our industry to move forward, is right now you have all these legacy systems and you have these contracts and investments in these third party other suppliers. And you basically have too much invested in your current program that you don't like to actually stop and start fresh. So before you invest and double down on more things that you might not eventually like, I think it'd be wise to take a big step back, breathe, and go, okay, where do I want to be in 5 years? And because technology is not going to get easier overnight, right? It's something that takes real focus, real investment, and a real master plan. So if you master plan your building or your base or your lifts or your snowmaking, you need to master plan your technology 100%.
That's an excellent segue. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it. The technology master plan is something that I had actually never heard of until I spoke to you for the article. One area that, if they don't have a technology master plan, it certainly seems like it, is Blue Mountain in Pennsylvania. We have Barb Green with us, who is the president at Blue Mountain, where her and her team have been exploring and beginning to implement adjustments in response to what this winter may bring. However, the resort has also made several technology upgrades in recent years that will prove valuable this winter. So Barb, can you walk us through the process evaluation that you and your team went through, perhaps share some findings, and give us an idea of the types of changes you'll be making for this winter as a result?
So I just want to, agree with Joe. You cannot do this in 1 year. You know, we have 26 IT programs right now at the resort that we use. And I think, we started investing in automated snowmaking 13, 14 years ago. That's just one of our systems, which now that we have this, good over 50% of our system, we're now re-implementing the software again this year. I mean, this is a constant, it's no different than fixing your snowmaking pipes. You constantly have to go ahead and maintain all these software systems. But you know, we've invested every year in software. We've invested in the RFID. We didn't do it all at once. And with each one of these software, one of my issues was there's only two legacy systems. You know, I think we need to go ahead and start peeling off parts of the business that we could take out of those legacy systems, so we get best of breed. You know, snowmaking isn't part of our point of sale system. You know, you make your snowmaking software as best as you possibly can. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to do the same thing with your retail program. The reason we've all put it together is it's nice to have one report at the very end of everything that, you know, adds it up for somebody like me. There's other ways to do that now that are much, much quicker and much, much easier than they were 10 years ago. So we've done, you know, we're going with an online store this summer. We went to a new food and beverage program that basically allows you to go ahead and order online. And we just went out to look for the best of breed of what everybody else was using in a food and beverage, fine dining and service arena. And, you know, basically went to the best one. You know, we've also invested a lot in e-commerce. And, you know, this year it's been very, very difficult just for everybody who's on this call. It's been very difficult for us to go ahead and get the customers to accept to go ahead and reload tickets. I know other resorts haven't had as much trouble with RFID, but I think now with COVID, it's basically going to be very, very simple that they're basically holding on this card and they can go ahead and reload it anytime they want and they can skip all these lines. Yeah, I think, you know, our point of sale, and I get back to what Joe was saying about process. You know, we have all these different types of ticketing issues. You know, you've got a senior discount, which, you know, then you got to see the senior. You've got the fourth and fifth grade program. Well, they now have to come into the ticket office. There are so many different discounting things that are out there, at least in my marketplace. It's like, hey, we just can't do this anymore. I mean, this is an opportunity for all these things that we are saying, oh, I really want to give this up, but we're not sure we can, to go ahead and take that plunge, because you basically look, we have to go to a touchless system. So therefore we don't have the senior discount anymore. You know, it's easier. It's going to be easier for us to explain some of those things. But I agree with Joe, you cannot, there is not one system that is going to do all your point of sale, all your retail, all your rental, you got to get the one that your people are excited about. You got to get the people that are going to run those, your food and beverage directors, your rental retail directors, involved in that process. They know that process a whole lot better than your finance people. I think, you know, we've done that in the past where we've kind of just handed them some software and we didn't get what they all needed. So it gets back to getting your teams in huddles to find out what's the easiest thing that we could do. How do we make this easier for everybody? And let's pick a system that's going to make it easy for our guests and is not complicated. There's a lot of new stuff out on the marketplace that does that and is all phone oriented. And, you know, I think this is going to be a good thing for the ski resort businesses, that it's going to force us to go ahead and catch up to where a whole bunch of the world is at. I don't know if anybody's been to an airport recently, but when I went out in February to the NSA show, you know, I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, you can go into the airport and there is no checkout person. You just do it all by your phone or all by your credit card with a iPad there. I mean, I saw that and I go, whoa, why aren't we doing that? That was before COVID. So, you know, that's where everything is going to go. It's going to be, there is nobody who's taking the tickets or, you know, ringing up at the registers anymore. The guests are going to do it themselves, and they're already getting programmed by everywhere else they go to go ahead and do it.
So real quick, you mentioned some discount programs and things like that that are going to have to change due to the touchless nature of the operations this winter that are likely. Are those changes going to be permanent? And what other potential changes do you guys foresee happening for this winter that will be permanent, that will ultimately better the guest experience at Blue?
I think we're going to be going from being 60% e-commerce to being 100% e-commerce this year. I just, you know, it's the way, we don't have enough space inside. All our ticketing is inside. We can't do it inside. Everybody has to wear masks. Everybody has to stay 6 feet apart. I think once everybody gets there, that's never going to go back.
Barbara, you talked on one of our prior huddles about the possibility of timed blocks and working that into a way to handle capacity, and maybe that tying into the tech that you have in place. Is that a possibility still?
That is still a possibility. You know, if we take a look at our scans, because we have all this information, we're definitely a day trip place. On average, people ski less than 4 hours at our place. To me, the more I can turn my parking lot, the better off I'm going to be, as opposed to an all-day ticket. You know, people buy this all-day ticket, but then they never stay. they used to go ahead and ski for four hours and then actually go to the bar. I just don't think that's going to be the scenario this year. So it's, if I could turn my parking lot more frequently with a, you know, less expensive ticket than the all-day ticket elsewhere, I think that might be where we're headed this year.
Great. Thanks so much, Barb, for sharing.
Yep.
So we'll transition now to talk about the trend of shifting to selling lift tickets and other products online. And it has gained momentum in the recent years, as we've all sort of been following. But it's time, really, as we're all saying, to make e-commerce a priority, both in response to how everything may need to work this winter and to catch up with consumer expectations moving forward. The pandemic has accelerated the focus on e-commerce and what platforms should be capable of doing this for us, and we're sort of still figuring all that out. But with us, we have Rob Clark, who is the CEO of Aspenware, an e-commerce and integration software company, and we've heard from some operators, so we'll hear from some suppliers who are taking a lot of the calls from operators. And Rob, at the outset of this pandemic, you and your team surveyed clients and held ideation sessions to identify what resorts were most concerned about and what they needed help with. And I think it would be helpful for the operators on the call if you shared some of those findings from those efforts and how that sort of progressed from those ideation sessions to solutions.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a journey over the last few months, and we have quite a ways to go as well. And thanks for having me. Happy to join the panel again. We're really looking at this from a perspective of both technology and of process. Technology's changed skiing, I think, for the better, and it'll continue to, but it's not the only answer. Many resorts have been also working on these items for years. A lot of the things that we're looking at for this winter, they're just looking at them for different reasons right now. We really see this at Aspenware as kind of a two-pronged problem. One is what this kind of means for e-commerce and the online shopping experience, as you said. But two, what happens after the guest clicks buy? What happens between when they purchase online and when they're actually riding up the lift? So from the e-commerce perspective, one of the biggest problems right now is that no resort knows exactly what they're going to need for this winter. And they may not know until just before they need it. The governor may come down with a new operating plan or restrictions or something like that days before you're able to open, and the resorts may have to adapt to that. We're not preparing for a moving target. We're preparing for a target that we don't even really know exactly what it is. So how do vendors prepare for something like that? I mean, one of the ways we prepare is there's a lot of things that we do know. And one is that we've already faced a lot of these issues with resorts that have opened for spring skiing and also for Southern Hemisphere resorts that are operating under very challenging conditions right now. Some resorts have actually closed now in the Southern Hemisphere. As it's been said a lot, I mean, most resorts know or believe that they're only going to offer tickets online in advance, and they may require passholder reservations on certain days. That's one of the things that you've heard. This limited inventory and this ticket scarcity combined with the pent-up demand of skiers has kind of created these flash sale scenarios for these online ticketing systems. I mean, ski commerce systems are built for personalized experiences. They're not built to sell tickets to a Justin Bieber concert or to Hamilton. And we've also seen other parallel industries facing the same thing. Joe mentioned Disney's technology not being all it's cracked up to be. They opened a few days ago to a lot of news, but they released their tickets back in June, and their online ticketing system crashed when they released their tickets because there was so much demand. Generally, we believe it's a good thing that we focused on these personalized experiences because that's what resorts need 99% of the time, and we really believe we should stick to our knitting in that area. But we kind of see a combo of technology and marketing and planning that can lead to success. From the technology perspective, modern technology and modern e-commerce solutions can scale to support thousands of shoppers at once, and digital queuing techniques can step in to disperse load when needed. From a marketing perspective, we can do strategic things like planning ticket releases strategically. Don't release the entire season at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, your entire inventory. Offer passholder pre-sales. Release tickets in chunks of the season. One thing we also don't want to lose is the personalized experience when we solve this. We still want guests to be able to reload online and go direct to Lyft. If we want to validate pass holders online, let them go straight to the Lyft and not have to stop in to prove that they were a pass holder. Another consideration that we're going to look at here as well is that equity and fairness is a big concern. Do we really want the people that are allowed to ski decided by who is the fastest with their mouse or who has the fastest internet connection? What if you're working at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday when those tickets are released? What about the adaptive or ADA community? And also, there's also considerations like what if pass holders don't show up? Resorts are considering if a pass holder makes a reservation for Saturday but they don't show up, should there be some kind of penalty, like when you get charged for a class on a gym membership? Should we block them from reserving the next day, but do you really want to do that to your most loyal guests? There's a lot of questions, and there's also a lot of solutions that technology can offer. On the second part, what happens after a guest flits by, we're looking at how we can, a few different things. One is how can we help guests better prepare before they arrive? As Barb mentioned before, the airlines really have this nail, and they did it for other reasons other than COVID. It was for self-service and automation. 24 hours before your flight, you get a text message or an email, you check in online, you pick a better seat, you upload your passport info, you agree to terms and conditions, pay for baggage, get a QR code, go straight to security, straight to the gate. That experience is ingrained in airline travelers, and everyone just knows to expect that right now. Guest expectations have also changed with COVID, and people are expecting these kinds of solutions in almost every industry. Another way is with information. We can make sure people know what to expect. We can start communicating during the booking process and also with emails, working with CRM companies, and on brochure sites. We can offer guests to complete that information before they arrive. Complete their ski school info, their rental profiles, their waivers, upload their photos. Encourage the use of mobile devices in advance and on site. And another side of this is how can resorts be better prepared for guest arrival? We still believe that those deep integrations into POS and fulfillment systems are very important. Resorts can run arrival reports to know who's coming. They can prepare items in the rental shop or in the ski school the night before. And then lastly, one of the big things we're looking at is what are those opportunities to kind of reduce all those little micro fulfillment lines at the ticket window and the ski school and the activity center and guest services and the rental shop in the base area? How can we enable not just direct to Lyft, but direct to activity? And there's a number of items that we've looked at that emerged from those ideation sessions. So one is media. How can we get people's ticket or pass in their hand? You can mail it in advance. But we're also working really closely with both our friends at Axis and Ski Data, who both have will call devices now, where you can take your phone, get that QR code, just like on the airline, scan your QR code, your ticket prints out, and you go straight to Lyft. We're looking at how can we enhance the voucher, the buddy ticket redemption process, so people can do that online, either reload or pick up media at the kiosks. How can people, again, complete that ski school and rental information before they arrive? How can we use third-party systems like ShareID to validate military and college students online so they don't have to be validated at the window? And overall, like, how can we encourage resorts to just simplify processes and maybe make some hard decisions just to make things easier on themselves? So in summary, we need to focus on scalability, the guest experience side of commerce, and pre-arrival. We need to work with resort marketing teams to better educate guests before they arrive. And we need to give guests the opportunity to self-serve before they arrive, or even from their mobile device in the parking lot or in the base area.
We'll dive back into the conversation after this message from our partner, Blackstrap. Mask Up has a whole new meaning, and Blackstrap has you covered with new public safety face masks. The Civil Mask is lightweight, machine washable, fully customizable, and made in the USA. For every Civil Mask sold, Blackstrap is donating proceeds to agencies and individuals in need across the U.S. and have donated and delivered more than 40,000 masks to date. As the leading USA-made face mask company, Blackstrap has you, your employees, and your customers covered. www.bsbrand.com.
We're going to jump back over to the operator side. So next up, we're going to talk with Amy Oran, who's the GM of Boreal and Soda Springs. And joining her is Max Gall, the senior mountain sports manager. But first, I wanted to show you all a video that they produced almost a year ago, having no idea just how relevant it would become.
Want to check out the video? Grab the link at saminfo.com/huddle.
Thought that was pretty relevant. Just to what we're talking about and the fact that Amy and her team had this going last year. So Amy, I'm gonna cue you up. As the video demonstrates, you already headed down this path of the contactless experience with Woodward and Boreal customers. So I guess at this point we wanna know, has the pandemic made you reevaluate it further, and have you made more changes to the contactless tech and the customer experience, and how will you use this tech? Will this tech be able to handle the challenge of change in capacity? You know, whether that comes from local, state, or federal guidelines, how you'll handle season pass holders with regards to capacity, customer responses to the program thus far. Just share a little insight into how it went, some of the challenges, and what changes you'll make for the upcoming season.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Hi, everyone. So this video was a product of totally in agreement with Joe and the other speakers that you definitely just can't buy your way into technology. It's a multi-department, multi-strategy initiative, and we've been going down this road for several years for, you know, all the reasons that we do this. We want, you know, our guests want faster transactions, they want confidence in the experience, and the addition of, some pretty significant investments over the last couple of years. This video, you know, our marketing team is so trained to, when we have a big capital implementation, they want to take it to market and they want to sell it. And as you guys know, it's never that sexy to go sell RFID gates to our guests. You know, they don't see that that's a benefit to them. So we kind of challenged the services team to, what does this actually mean for the guest? And it came down to hands-free. And, you know, we're close to the bay. We're a day visit area, a really young ridership that really expects that the transaction to be through technology. So this video was really... this was almost a year ago. We were putting this together and really went down the route of the value of the hands-free experience, not knowing how relevant this would be at the onset of a global pandemic. And that conversation actually came up within the first couple of weeks of, well, at least this, all the work we put into the systems this year are more valid than ever. And, you know, to Joe's point, we're certainly not looking to solve the experience right now specific to COVID, but just the overall guest experience. And I think that's a great approach of, you know, what we're doing hopefully has a shelf life of many, many years. What you're seeing in that video is obviously a culmination of integration of many systems. And we had great success with going, we've had a high percentage of online just organically happen here, built it over the last couple of years. It really is how our guests expect to transact. And so we've been in, you know, similar to Barb, we've been in the, you know, low 70s with the online experience, and we're certainly looking to turn that up. It happens organically every year. As far as the experience with the redemption, we're at capacity all the time. I mean, we're almost every weekend and holiday, we're, you know, trying to figure out ways to address capacity constraints that we have, and certainly the arrival experience has been a significant focus. We found it was pretty intuitive to the guests. We purchased 7 of the pickup boxes, and one thing that kind of happened organically that we're going to really double down on in the future is for those that didn't purchase online, they intuitively went there. And this organic, what we call the ticketing lounge, just kind of happened. And for those who still needed to complete their transaction, they just kind of found a space, and we doubled down on that. And the one thing I really like about this format that we're going to double down in, and Max can speak a little bit more to what we see in the future, but this ticketing lounge, we're really shifting the transaction, the labor and the bandwidth that's dedicated in the future to the transaction, to the conversation, and helping people understand the best product for them to buy, products they may not have considered, and just giving them some confidence in what it is that they're buying. And I think that we're not looking to take the human interaction out of it. We're definitely looking to redirect it to help the guests with what they really do need help with in navigating their way through our system. As far as the usage, it was really intuitive. I mean, they walk up, they scan their barcode, and I think the only thing that was like really confusing to our guests, anyone who worked at the kiosk or shared the same thing, is they do a scan, it creates their ticket, and they stand there and they look at you and they say, well, that's it. You know, where's the painful process? And gives us more time to talk to them about their day and kind of what's next for them through the service world. So to your question of, is it going to help us with the kind of COVID realities with capacity? Very much think so. I mean, we saw it last year in that it gave people the choice of kind of where to go. Obviously, they're going to choose the less crowded areas. Speed of processing was both speed of processing and interaction with the hands-free RFID were the top two in our guest research results. So big impact on the guest experience. And we do see, as we kind of plan this roadmap into opening for winter, it's the speed of service and getting people out of the lines. And it's also the spreading people into multiple locations. And I say these pickup boxes are movable. My IT manager over here is probably going to roll his eyes and not agree. But there is some flexibility, and we've been able to make some adjustments just on where the people are going. I think that the piece of advice that we got that we didn't necessarily follow were to understand where the guests are going and put the technology in front of them there. We had other initiatives with trying to get people into the Woodward building, and that worked as well, but we're going to expand these a little bit more this year. We're going to buy a few more, implement them into areas that we are having difficulties with the transaction speeds. But overall, I feel like this was we're really relieved that we have spent the last couple of years in really addressing the speed of service. And
going into the next, are you adding anything more? Are you keeping it as is? Or is there anything that lessons learned from having operated it with a season that you're going to apply, you know, just in general or unique to what we're facing with the challenges?
Yeah. Max, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, definitely. Hello, everyone. My name is Max Gall. By title, I'm the senior manager of mountain sports here at Boreal, Soda Springs and Woodward Tahoe, which essentially means that I'm involved with the rental process, the ski and ride school, as well as the mountain bike rentals and the mountain bike school programming during the summer. First of all, thanks for inviting our team to this conversation. It's definitely a theme that I believe we're going to be focusing on well beyond just a COVID-19 response plan or any kind of business continuity plan. This is something that's going to continue to be a focus for us for a very long time. We've heard really two common themes today, just the relationship between technology and process. Where I really fit in is the process, and I'm constantly trying to improve what the experience is like for the guest from the moment they leave their car to picking up their media, picking up any sort of rental equipment that they need, and then hopefully getting eventually into a snow sports ski or snowboard lesson. On-site sales for us, anyway, anecdotally feel more and more just a result of somebody going through our website, trying to go through the e-commerce process and not necessarily knowing exactly what is the best thing for them. So to Amy's point, we definitely see a big opportunity to with these self-service ticketing lounges to have some employees and some staff members there, almost more to guide people rather than be a cashier. And that does allow for a little bit more of a contactless experience. But moving into rentals, I know there was a lot of questions from folks in the chat regarding rentals. Some of the things that we're looking forward to in the future, some future ideas, are to eliminate the kiosk process and to assess which steps in not only the purchase but the fulfillment process can be moved upstream or downstream. A really good example is a lot of folks are very focused on having a waiver signed in person at a kiosk and collecting height, weight, skier type, things like that from a shared kiosk. I think a few years ago, that was a very revolutionary thing that helped the rental fulfillment process. But one of the things that we've experimented with is actually bypassing some of those steps and not trying to collect that data ahead of time, but instead capturing that at the very moment when it is most necessary. So essentially eliminating that process from people that don't need it. Like if you're running a snowboard, for example, there's no reason to collect a height, ability, weight, and weight for a DIN setting. It's irrelevant. We just need to make sure that they're sized with the print. So what we've done is only at our ski tech benches, we have a scale that the guest steps up onto, a height measuring stick that our tech can just take a very quick reading. The guest actually doesn't even know what's going on. We can capture a quick scan of their boot, and then obviously the system calculates the DIN and we can get them out the door a lot faster. We found that when this process was moved more upstream and it was a cashiering thing or even an e-com thing, folks didn't understand necessarily why they were being asked that data. They didn't understand the importance of it. So it just became, it kind of got lost in the noise to them. So that's one of the things that we're really pushing for in the rental area. Whether or not the technology is going to solve that problem for us is a little bit uncertain, but I think to a lot of the points that have been made already, it's about process more than the technology. Yeah. Technology becomes what we utilize to improve the process, but it's really important to take a hard look at the process. So on that note, some of the other changes that we've made, obviously, is getting the EMV credit card transaction going at all of our points of sale so that when it is necessary to take payment on site, we'll be doing that so there's no passing the card back and forth, no touching of machines and whatnot. And then the same goes for our food and beverage and retail via Square, which Jalen is happy to answer some questions about that in the chat if you guys have any. But yeah, it's all just centered around the guest experience, analyzing our process and which steps we can move upstream and which steps we can eliminate to take the confusion away.
Awesome. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Max. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate that that walkthrough of the process. That's terrific. We are going to now shift over to Lindsay DeLaurier. who joins us from Bolton Valley in Vermont. Lindsay is the president and co-owner of Bolton Valley. And there they've been implementing contactless technology pre-pandemic, similar to Boreal and Woodward, but is now making further adjustments and improvements. So when we reached out to Lindsay about participating in the huddle, she responded saying, "When I was reading your description, I was thinking, this is just what we're doing and how we're thinking." So Lindsay, if you could share some of what you're doing and how you're thinking, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And I'll try to be brief. I think I'll caveat it by saying it's not quite like Boreal and Blue Mountain. We're probably several steps behind those guys. We're pretty small here in Vermont, and our technology is probably behind a lot of your guys' technology at the bigger resorts that are on this call. We did implement RFID last year, and we're very glad we did. I think one thing that, you know, may be an advantage for us is we're not super mired in. Because we're behind, we've been thinking about what direction to go in, and you know, certainly COVID is a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. I think it was Barb maybe who was saying, you know, it's an opportunity to get people to think differently and hopefully create some behaviors that will carry on into the future. And that's something that we're super excited about. I was resonating with you also, Barb, when you're talking about turning the parking lot and, you know, looking at how you can think dynamically about the RFID technology to create windows. So some of the things that
Lindsay, I just want to say, I mean, I haven't been over to Europe in a while, but I mean, you can buy a 2-hour ticket, you know? Yeah. I just don't know why we're all stuck on this all day experience, because I don't think anybody does anything all day anymore. There's just too much to do.
Well, I strongly agree with you. And that's definitely the direction we're going in. I mean, we started out by thinking, you know we have food and beverage capacity limits that we're laboring under now and that we're probably going to continue to have, you know, lodging limits, capacities in different rooms, group capacity. So we've got all these kind of structural challenges that we have to figure out how to live within. And so for us, it's really coming down to improving our advanced sales, our capacity management, and that's like Barb, what we're thinking about with regard to that. And then finally, yield management. I mean, so it's really like there's sort of three lenses to look at all of these challenges through. And, you know, there isn't a silver bullet in technology, like Joe was saying at the beginning, but certainly technology can help us to achieve those goals. And, you know, without technology, I don't think we can just do it on site. You know, I look at our base lodge at Bolton, that was built for 1,000 pass holders by my dad back in the 60s. And it's just, you know, there just isn't the space. We can try to spread everybody out as much as we want, but we've got to rely on technology to have advanced sales, because we've got to get rid of those lines. So technology can support us in a number of ways. And that's really what we're trying to achieve. So everything we're doing, we're asking, you know, can they do that ahead of time? And do they have to interact with the staff person to accomplish that objective? And really, you know, and this goes down like from, it's not just buying lift tickets, it's, you know, getting ready for the rental. And I totally hear what you're saying about getting the weight and height at the point. But for us, our rental shop is so small and we have so many people in rentals that we're trying to get everything, you know, out ahead of it. Can they reserve their table? Our F&B software is terrible. You know, we can't do anything. We have no functionality, but we've got to figure out a way to have more functionality so they can reserve a table, so that we can let them know on their phone when their table's ready, so they can order a sandwich, you know, or chicken fingers or whatever without having to necessarily interact with a staff person. So, you know, we're getting rid of lines, getting rid of crowds, trying to move through everything efficiently. And then it really comes down to capacity management and yield management so that we can try to, you know, we can try to approximate the revenue we need with fewer people.
Thank you so much for sharing. That was a great perspective. We're going to jump over to Mike Bisner now from Access, a company that offers resort software and access solutions. And Mike, you you've been talking with a lot of resorts, getting a lot of calls from all sizes in the past few weeks. And you said, what I'm experiencing as a supplier is everyone is attempting to see around the corner and what is coming this winter and what it'll look like, which we've been hearing and we all know is near impossible. So, but tell us from these operator conversations, what are the things that they are most concerned about? You know, is it handling customer demand, managing visitation, when that could be a moving target? What are you hearing, and what would your advice be to operators just starting down this path?
So, Olivia, I'm seeing a wide range of attitudes out there, from operators that are fearful of the unknown, obviously, which we're all dealing with, to others that are kind of upbeat and positive about silver linings in this crisis. And the silver linings are the demand for the outdoors that we're seeing with summer operations and golf right now, as well as the demand for the areas that opened up late and or opening down under. Strong local demands. People are talking about driving to a ski resort instead of flying. Family ski weeks as opposed to just skiing on Saturdays. And, you know, the major silver lining would be the return to the midweek skiing. You know, the hourly solution for the local areas has been in existence in Europe. But one of the smartest clients of ours is a group up in Canada called the Mount St. Sever Group. And they eliminated all of their different offerings of tickets, and they basically went to a 4-hour and 8-hour ticket. And obviously their 4-hour became their number one seller, and they priced it so it wasn't going to cannibalize their 8-hour. And they see great turnover, and I just see the whole crisis accelerating. When it comes to contactless, touchless, you know, we've been really spoiled here with inexpensive labor, or access to inexpensive labor for ticket checkers or for cashiers in Europe for the past 20 years. You know, everything is done with kiosks, and you park your car, you go to a kiosk, you buy a 2-hour or a 3 or 5 day, you can even buy a 5 or 7 day ticket, put it in your pocket, and go skiing without having a ticket checker or a ticket seller. And you know, they've done this in Europe, and I think that we're going to see this major shift towards that ourselves. Earlier in the conversation was mentioned the whole shift to online. We're seeing it ourselves on how we do everything with curbside pickup and how we're ordering food. So I think that the consumer is really being totally groomed to us moving from a format where maybe 30 to 50% of ticket advance purchases were done online to seeing a 75% plus to almost 100% plus of people ordering online. And regardless, you're gonna need some sort of technology in order to handle that. I mean, there's a lot of great e-commerce providers out there, and integration is required with all of these providers. I think that ever since the Mountain Technology Symposium threw the gauntlet down to have open-ended APIs last year, that companies, you know, like Aspenware and Intopia, Access, Siriusware, RTB, everybody is trying to work together to make this a much more seamless and less painful process. When it comes to the touch points that are going to be the most difficult to solve on resort are rentals and F&B. And we're seeing people talking about doing boxed lunches and ordering online, on site for families that have a fear to actually get a boxed lunch and sit in their car and eat and then go skiing again. What we're doing with our rental software is creating a on-site check-in, so your mobile device, just like the kiosk or the resort panels used to service multiple people, is with your phone, you'll be able to check in on site, on premise, to enter your height, weight, ability, shoe size, and submit that to the tech desk with your phone. And we're seeing a huge acceleration, you know, towards everyone using this device to actually get what they need without going into crowded rooms.
Great.
That's what people are used to, right? Yeah.
Let's see what they're doing in the Southern Hemisphere, Dave.
Yeah, so as we all know, physical distancing may require resorts to keep close tabs on the number of people, not only that buy lift tickets, but that go in and out of indoor facilities. Casey Parliman is president and general manager of InTouch North America, which is a point of sale ticketing and reservation software provider. And he was working on a cool project with some folks down under. Casey, can you tell us about the project that you're working on with NZ Ski, which owns and operates the Remarkables Mount Hutt and Coronet Peak in New Zealand? Casey.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Pleasure to be part of the huddle today. So as you've identified, we support a number of resorts in the Southern Hemisphere, notably including NZ Ski. Many of you might be familiar with New Zealand's approach to managing coronavirus. And if not, they've been one of the few countries which was successful at keeping the pandemic at bay, essentially eradicating COVID by acting quickly to shut its borders. During this process, New Zealand established a four-tiered approach to managing the pandemic. So when NZ Ski first engaged with InTouch, the country was what's referred to as level 4 lockdown, which corresponded to their fall preseason period. So the resorts weren't yet open at this point. During this time, they asked InTouch to think outside the box and support a heavily modified resort opening in which technology could be utilized to support capacity control and contact tracing in the event of an outbreak at one of their properties. For the benefit of NZ Ski, the entire country has actually since returned to level 1, which essentially means that they've returned to normal operation. Rob Clark actually said it really well when he said that all of the resorts here in the U.S. Face a high degree of uncertainty regarding the upcoming ski season. And, you know, it's anyone's guess as to what this season's going to look like. But that said, we've developed some new applications to help our resorts during this time of uncertainty. So the first is a contact tracing application. Chris Chiquet just posted a question in the chat. So, Chris, this is for you as well. But contact tracing essentially is a process that scans the guest at the time of entry to a given location, and it verifies that appropriate contact details are associated with a guest profile in the system. If those contact details don't exist, the operator has the ability to capture those details, phone, email, as examples. So in the event of an incident or an outbreak, the resort then has the ability to generate a report to identify guests who may have been in contact with that individual who may have had COVID, and then initiate a process to alert other guests that they may have had contact with during that process. So that's our contact tracing capability. The second is a relatively simple capacity control mechanism. And it allows operators to establish specific capacity limits for predefined physical locations. Examples being outdoor areas, could be a retail location or even a food and beverage outlet. Guests are scanned both on entry and on exit, typically using a piece of resort issued media or some other type of barcoded placard. Is the mechanism that's used to actually establish the capacity for a given location. Capacity control, it's based on a browser application, and it can be utilized on a combination of either fixed or mobile readers. So again, capacity control and contact tracing, those are two of the newer applications that we've implemented specifically for COVID. We have seen high levels of interest in other contactless features of the InTouch platform. Things like electronic waivers, advanced reservations, cashless payments, online reloading, etc. And then just lastly, we've also seen a pretty substantial uptick in resorts that are looking to access data out of the system to help create operational efficiencies and establish innovative programs and perhaps even eliminate some of those discretionary programs that don't offer value. Just as an example, we heard Barb Green at Blue Mountain discuss her analysis of the day trippers to identify opportunities to turn that parking lot more frequently to drive results.
Thanks, Casey. That's good stuff. Interesting stuff. Now we are going to call in our closer, Mr. Greg Blanchard, who is Vice President of Marketing at Intopia. Greg, you've been listening into this. You've been paying attention to everything that's going on. Share with us, some takeaways and some things that you feel are vital for resorts of all sizes and all resources to consider as we move forward in the planning process for this winter.
Sure, and thanks again for putting this on. You guys have done a fantastic job with these huddles. They're really just good content. You bring in some really good perspectives on everything, and this is no exception for sure. I do have a couple of notes to your point that I want to reinforce. I think maybe just make sure we don't miss a couple points or some nuance in this. Joe said something really important at the beginning, and I may not have this quote right, but he said, there's no silver bullet that'll do what you want it to do. And the key point I'd underline in that is what you want it to do. The thing that I've seen more than anything in the last 3 months, especially increasing the last month and a half, is that everybody has a very, very different solution or need that they need a solution for. And it's so different from resort to resort. It's really surprised me. And I think the two main factors that we see from that are the behavior of the market that you're in, and also the behavior of the government that you're in. I mean, I'm in Utah, and our governor is lightly recommending people should wear masks, while Melbourne is locked down, even though we have half the population and four times the number of cases each day. So it really, there are such wild swings between these resorts that everyone has very different needs. When resorts come to us and ask us for advice or tips, it's like every single time there's a little bit of nuance. And I think, I can't remember who it was that mentioned this, but with lotteries, I think Rob mentioned this, where there are so many different ways to put on a lottery, and you have to account for fairness, and you have to account for people that don't show, and all. And resorts, when they bring their lists of priorities, every time it's different. And I think the one thing I want to make sure we don't miss, or resorts don't miss, is that you shouldn't fight against that necessarily. I think Joe said it perfectly. Start with your process, what you really want, what you think is the best solution, and bring that to your vendor. I've been saying this for 2 months now. Whatever your vendor is, go to them and ask them for help. Tell them exactly what your solution or your problem is that you need a solution to, and they can help. But just start there. You don't need to shop for something new necessarily. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just talk to them and bring that unique problem to them. One thing I was going to bring up that I think is an interesting thing we've all been saying is we're comparing two alternatives. One is buying in person, and one is buying online. But there's a third option, and that's buying over the phone. And that's contactless, right? There's no physical touch required to call on the phone. We think that's archaic and old, but there's an interesting data point associated with online purchases. And the more complex an online purchase becomes, the more likely someone is to pick up the phone and call and get help with that transaction. Hmm. That's why it's really easy to do like a lift ticket, or a or on Amazon to buy a new thing of toilet paper or whatever. But the moment it becomes a little bit more complex, you add in rentals or you add in lodging or whatever, that becomes a point where people just want to make sure they get it right before they spend X number of dollars on that thing. And so I think Max made a good point too. When people are coming to the kiosks, they're still unfamiliar and they need help from a person. And we have to account for that. We are essentially, with all of these process changes that are potentially coming down the road, we are essentially turning veteran skiers into beginners again, because they have no idea how this is going to work. And it's going to require a lot of hand-holding, but it's also going to require that human touch. Maybe with really good communication in your e-commerce platform, maybe with a phone call sometimes, just to make sure they feel comfortable making that purchase. So that's one thing that I just bring up is, you know, it may be a very small slice of what eventually you roll out for this winter, but don't forget that some people in some situations will just want to pick up the phone or a live chat or whatever it is, but have that human interaction. And that's all, you know, to use our favorite term today, contactless. Like, that's just an important thing to remember. And one kind of, I think I glazed over quickly, was lodging. No one's really talked about lodging, but we've seen that backfire a couple of times where resorts didn't account for lodged guests to have tickets, and they sold out days before the lodged guests could get those days. And so people had lodging and no tickets. And, you know, just make sure you think about lodging, how that all fits into your capacities and your process, and especially when people have a question and those transactions get more complex. But overall, I think it was a fantastic conversation, some really good takeaways, and it just shows how diverse the solutions need to be for this upcoming season.
There may be no technology silver bullet, but it's quite clear that resorts are going to be re-examining their technology master plans in an effort to create a smoother process for guests. If you'd like to join future Huddle conversations, email huddle@saminfo.com. Like the sound of the Blackstrap civil masks? We've got the deal for you. Subscribe or renew your subscription to SAM Magazine by August 15th, and you'll receive a free mask, compliments of the folks over at Blackstrap. www.saminfo.com/subscribe. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. The Pod SAM advisor is Alex Kaufman, the Wintry Mix podcast guy. I am Sarah Bordeev, and thank you for listening to PodSam.